We're rebranding the show from Confessions of a B2B Marketer to Confessions of a B2B Entrepreneur. Hello and welcome to Confessions of a B2B Marketer. And today we have a solo episode. It's been a while since we've done one of these. And the reason, or the main reason we're doing this, is because I'm planning on changing the podcast, rebranding the podcast, and I wanted to record an episode to give an update on where we are with Fame, an update on my role in the business, and then explaining why I want to change the podcast. You'll find out what's changing by listening to the end. All right, so let's talk about Fame. So I think people probably know, if you're listening to this, because we advertise in every episode, Fame Staff and Growth podcast for B2B brands. Right now, approximately $3.2 million in ARR. We're fully bootstrapped, haven't raised any money, have about 70 full-time team members, fully remote. And a couple of things have changed in the past maybe 6 or so months. First of which is we rebranded. Go and check out Fame.so to check out the rebrand. I like it much more. Really needed it, to be honest. It'd been 4 years, roughly, since we'd done the rebrand. Nothing's changed with the positioning of the company. We're still the B2B podcast agency. I think we're close to becoming the biggest. The other thing that's changed is that we do have what we're calling add-on services. The ethos behind Fame is that in order to win in B2B these days, you need to be known, liked, and trusted by a B2B company before they come into the buying window for your product or service. Let's say we have a B2B SaaS company sell sales software. That sales software, or a potential client, is only going to be in the buying window if that sales software probably 3 months every 3 to 5 years. And so if the company is selling the sales software, you need to be in the minds of those people before they come in the buying window. So when they enter the buying window, they come straight to you. That's theory. The way you do that is by creating information that's valuable to them. And so for 4 years of the history of our company, we've done that through audio, e.g. podcasts. And the add-on services we created doing exactly that, but through two different mediums. So at the top of the ladder, I say we have social, so it's organic social, doing the same thing, creating content that your ideal buyers would like before they're ready to buy on social. If you want to check an example of that, you can go to my LinkedIn. I'll link to it below to see how that's happening. Second of which is email. So once we have the audience on social, the next best thing is typically to get someone's email address. We're also pulling them off the social network, which is a little bit of insurance because LinkedIn could just change the algorithm, you lose all your reach. So we pull that to a permission asset that we know, e.g. the email. And then at the bottom, which is the thing that can have the biggest impact in how much a potential customer knows, likes, and trusts you, is a podcast. So I see it in that hierarchy, social, email, and then podcast is still the main service for us anyway. And we have those add-ons for clients that want support. Building an email newsletter, ideally not just a company newsletter, like a separate content newsletter, and also building organic socials of people, not companies. That's important. It's much more effective to build organic social profile for a person than a business. So those are the things that have changed with Fame over the past 6 months. Not massive changes, but things that I think are having a good impact on the business. But another big change is my role. Over the past 4 years, I've done pretty much everything from project manager to guest liaison to account manager to account director to head of account management to head of growth, etc. And only really in the past 3 months have I been able to actually be the CEO. And that's largely, or credit to the leadership team. So we have a head of account management, Alexandra, head of growth, Michael, and a head of operations, Gemma. Shout out to you guys, who are now running their independent functions of the business. Which means that I don't really have anything to do apart from be a CEO. And so then the next question is obviously, what does a CEO do? And I've broken that down into 4 things that I think a CEO should do. So I'm going to run through them. And this also ties in nicely with the change in positioning of this podcast. So first we have, or the 4 things are people, culture, numbers, and LinkedIn. I'll explain why in a second. People first. So this is really first priority is obviously the people that directly report to me. This is supporting and nurturing the leadership team in their careers and in their work. So that's a big focus of mine. But then also ensuring that the rest of the company, or the rest of the managers in the company especially, are well equipped and understand what they need to do. And just ensuring that the people part of the company is functioning well. Next up is culture. So this is related to people, but it's more about what do we stand for? What do we believe? How do you want our team to behave? And how do we ensure that that happens? One example I'll give that I think is quite cool and can easily be taken is we have something called a Fame Values Award. And this is a $50 bonus that can be given to anybody in the team for doing anything that aligns with our four values. So anybody can give it to anybody, just has to be signed off by someone in the leadership team. And our values are client, 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 action bias, operational excellence, and growth obsessed. And so what this does, obviously, it incentivizes the behavior in alignment with the actions. But then in the Monday meeting we have for the team, every values award is announced. And so what that means is that we're continuously reminding people in the team of the values and that we prioritize those behaviors. So that's one thing that we do in the culture side. Next up is numbers. So it's understanding, well, it's really having goals for the business, both revenue and profit, and then achieving them. That's really the probably the most simplified definition of the role as CEO. So I'm just getting closer to the numbers, working closer with the accountant to understand what the goals are for the year, both revenue and profit, and then tweaking things if needed to ensure we hit those. And then finally, which is super interesting, is LinkedIn. Now, some of you may remember we had the CEO of Lempire / Lemlist on the show, Guillaume Mubesch, maybe about 3 months ago. And they're on about, I think, between $20 and $25 million in revenue, bootstrapped, or they have raised a bit, but not much. And I was asking Guillaume about what he does day to day. And he was saying that he's spending approximately 60% of his time on building his personal brand. And at the time, I thought that was absolutely crazy. But then I thought, okay, well, maybe let's test this out. And I started spending a bit more time on the personal brand, primarily LinkedIn. And I now fully understand why he does that. It's very powerful, I think, to have somebody in the business, doesn't have to be the CEO, that is externally facing and sharing stuff about the industry, about the business. The reason for this is that it's obviously very powerful for attracting clients, partners, and potential new team members. But I also think it galvanizes the internal team. If you see your leader out there discussing things, sharing thoughts, I think it's had a good impact on maybe not the morale, but just on the vibe almost within the company. That's the fourth thing I do. And how's that going? It's going pretty well. Doing or will do about 10 million impressions on LinkedIn in March. The goal was actually going to be 1 million impressions. And I thought that was a stretch goal, but we ended up doing 10 million impressions. And so that's been pretty impactful for the company and is going pretty well. So that will remain a focus. So my role going forward, people, culture, numbers, and LinkedIn. So that actually, if I'm fully honest, I think when I say people, culture, number, then LinkedIn, I should really say people, culture, numbers, and content, because obviously we have this podcast, which is my time as well. And so now let's move on to the repositioning. So originally the show is still called, up until today, Confessions of a B2B Marketer. And that is because really for the past 10 years of my life, I've been a B2B marketer. And the reason I was able to start Fame is that I built a podcast and email newsletter, originally called SaaS Hacker and then SaaS Marketer, that really was fueled my passion for marketing. And so it was the obvious like step was to create the content in that niche, because that's what I loved, that's what I was doing at the time. And that also was the main focus for me, was to get clients for Fame. And so obviously creating content that would appeal to the ideal customer Fame, which is a demand gen or marketing manager director at a B2B software company. So that's always been the case. However, as my role has, let's say, matured to doing all those things to becoming a CEO, I actually do a bit less marketing. I'm not that involved in any client podcasts, which are B2B marketing strategies. I'm no longer the head of growth for Fame. And so that means I spend less of my time in marketing and more of my time doing entrepreneur stuff, e.g. those four roles of the CEO, people, culture, numbers, and LinkedIn are more entrepreneurial / CEO. And so I was thinking, or I think it's really important that if you're creating content, you should be doing the stuff, because then the content creation just becomes very easy, because you just take the lessons and learnings from the thing that you're doing. For example, I'm maybe going to start learning more about culture. And so then the people that I'm learning from about culture, I'll bring on the show and it'll be very easy for me to ask questions and I'll be very engaged in the conversation because I'm actually doing it. Whereas I was finding with some of our marketing guests, because I'm no longer that engaged in that area and I'm not doing it day to day, that I couldn't be as interested as I wanted to be and I couldn't ask great questions. So that means we're rebranding the show from Confessions of a B2B Marketer to Confessions of a B2B Entrepreneur, because it's more aligned with that. And so do quick check-in on the numbers. So we've got around 3,000 followers on Spotify and Apple. That's up from about 2,000 a year ago. Around 10K downloads a month. The show's pretty systemized, so shout out to Chad and Michael for doing that. And so my role on the show is really just showing up, delivering the interviews out there, and that's it. So we're going to be transitioning. And what you should expect going forward is that we're obviously still going to touch upon marketing stuff, because marketing and sales is a big part of being an entrepreneur, especially if you're early stage. You have to know that stuff in order to grow if you don't have money to hire people. So we're going to have obviously less of a focus on marketing, but marketing will still be included. We'll probably be covering stuff about finance, marketing, sales, management, leadership, people, culture. And I still think that stuff is important for the B2B marketer in a B2B SaaS company, because if you're head of demand generation at a 500-person B2B SaaS company, you still need to know about management because you're managing a team. You still need to know about leadership. You still need to know about culture. And then the finance, entrepreneurship stuff is going to be useful. It's probably still useful in your role, but could be even more useful if you were to do something on your own later in your career. So I think it is still relevant. Now, of course, if you're only interested in B2B marketing, then this show may be less relevant for you, but we'll still cover it a bit. So I totally understand if you want to unfollow the show or just not listen to the episodes. That makes total sense. I really appreciate you listening to the show in its old iteration. So upcoming guests, we have a guy called Adam Pence, who's kind of a mentor, or we have informal calls where he advises. He is one of the people that I know that has the most knowledge and interest in small business stuff, so finance, etc., and also has a finger on the pulse of AI. So he's coming on, and we're going to probably be really nerdy about business stuff. And then we have another guest called Ash Jones, who's coming on. He, again, is an entrepreneur in the B2B space, specifically in personal branding for B2C. So some big names in the UK he does personal branding for, but he's also an entrepreneur, well, a B2B entrepreneur, to be clear. So most guests are either going to be entrepreneurs themselves or people that know a lot about a specific thing. So it could be somebody that knows a lot about marketing, would still be relevant to bring on. But if ever, this show will probably just swerve towards things that I think are interesting and important right now. And hopefully that will mean that those topics will also be interesting and important for you. So if you want to be a guest, or if you know anyone that I think would be a good guest around the topics I just discussed, then please drop an email to grow@fame.so. That's the team who review and manage all the guest stuff. And of course, this podcast only exists because of you. I review then all the stats weekly/monthly. And the fact that they're going up means that I think I enjoy this more. And it also means that I will put more effort to make it better. So if, of course, you have any feedback, you can email me directly or DM me on LinkedIn. Email address is tom@fame.so, or LinkedIn is Tom Hunt. Always welcome to feedback, because we're looking to tweak and improve this. So that is always welcome. And of course, thanks for listening.